Yeah, so my name is Clint. Thank you all for being here today. You know, it's really fun when you wake up in the morning and it's 20 below zero, right? Like, how lucky are we that we live in a place that is actively trying to kill us just by going outside? Anyway, I'm glad you're here, and I hope you all had a really great Christmas. I know that I did. I got to spend time both with my side of the family and my wife's side of the family. On Christmas Day, my wife and I, we went down to Edina and spent time with her parents. You know, we opened presents. We ate fondue, which is very fancy. And if you've never had fondue, I recommend that you fondue it. Now, see, I'm full of cheesy jokes. Yeah, there it is. There it is. Well, anyway, like Asa was saying, the new year is upon us. 2017 has come and gone. And I always just like to take a minute and kind of reflect on the year. So if you will for a minute, just indulge me. Let's reflect on the year together. Because 2017 has been kind of a crazy year, hasn't it? I mean, we've had wildfires. We've had some pretty high-profile mass shootings. We have had crazy politics this year, and I don't know if you're like me, but I watch politics like the same way that some people watch The Bachelor. Like, I am just in it for the drama. And so through that lens, it's been an amazing year politically. Like, if you don't like the drama, it's been a horrible political year for you. But for me, I'm laughing. And I don't care if you're on the left side or the right side. At some point this year, your party has done something so incredibly stupid that you've just had to shake your head and been like, really? I voted for these guys? But anyway, 2017, it's been a crazy year. We've seen hurricanes, you know, ravage everywhere in Puerto Rico. We've seen Nazis come back. That's different. That's kind of a low point that they're rallying again. And Star Wars came out, and about half the people who went and saw The Last Jedi absolutely hated it. Absolutely hated it. Now, I'm a big Star Wars fan. I've got some pretty strong opinions. I won't spoil anything for you. Go see the movie. But 2017, for some of us, has been a really hard year. It's been really crummy. You know, maybe you've experienced a job loss. Maybe you've lost a loved one. Maybe it seems like everything you do, everything you try, everywhere you turn, it just fails. Everything you put your hand to just crumbles. Maybe you've been constantly like berated with your weaknesses. All the ways that you aren't good enough, all the ways that you're, you know, not sufficient, just stare you in the face. Maybe that's been your 2017, and you just can't wait for it to be over. And maybe you're really excited about 2018. Maybe you hope 2018 is going to be a lot better. Maybe you had a really good 2017. Take, for example, my really good friend, Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift, she had a really great year. In fact, on her birthday, which is in early December, in case you didn't know, Tay-Tay, she tweeted this. She said, "I couldn't have asked for a better year." Yeah, we're on a nickname basis. "All thanks to you. Thanks for all the birthday wishes. Can't wait to see what 28 will be like. See you on tour." Taylor, she had a great year. I mean, she had an album that went triple platinum. You know, not a lot of people can say that. She won a really big sexual assault case that then paved the way for more and more victims to come forward and seek justice without fear of retribution. Like, that's amazing. And on top of all that, her best friend got married. You know, who doesn't love a good wedding, right? So Taylor, she had a really good year. She tweeted about it. But do you think that the Twitter sphere and social media and everybody like celebrated with her? Yay, Taylor! So happy your 2017 was awesome. Best of luck in 2018. Do you think that happened? Of course it didn't. People got angry. They got mad. Like, Jimmy Kimmel could have done a whole thing on just her mean tweets. As people were responding to her, they said stuff like, "Taylor, you're terrible. Katy Perry's way better than you are. Like, how dare? How dare you have a good year when the rest of us are suffering, when the world is falling apart, when there's hurricanes and fires and shootings and Nazis? How dare you have a good year and then brag about it?" So even when we have a really good year, we're going to have difficult times. We're going to have people that point out our flaws, our weaknesses, and that's when we have a good year. That's when we have our album go triple platinum. So if I was a betting man, which I am, I would bet that 2018 is going to be pretty much like 2017. There's going to be some good stuff. There's going to be some highs. But there's also going to be some really big lows. Some things are going to happen in 2018 that we just didn't see coming, that we didn't expect, that knock us right off of our feet. So what are we supposed to do in those moments? What are we supposed to do in those moments when life just throws us a curveball? Well, today, we're going to look at some verses out of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And that chapter, I just love it so much because the Apostle Paul, who wrote it, he starts out by telling us to take heart. And it's in those moments when life throws us a curveball that we need to take heart, when we need to hold on to hope. And Paul, he was no stranger to hardship. Paul's life was, in fact, incredibly difficult. He suffered so much. I mean, he had shipwrecks and persecution, and people chased him out of towns. But it was in the middle of these hardships, like, that he found a way to thrive. Paul's relationship with God was so rock solid that in the middle of his struggles, he found a way to connect with God and keep moving, to overcome the extraordinary circumstances that this ordinary man found himself in and share his faith with other people. So wouldn't it be great if in 2018, our relationship with God was this solid, that no matter what hardships life threw at us, we wouldn't lose heart? And wouldn't it be amazing if at the same time we could take the hope and the strength that we get from Jesus and then turn around and give that to a world that's just so in desperately need of hope, that really needs to take heart? Wouldn't that be great? So that's where we're going today. But before we dive in, let's pray together. And so Holy Spirit, we just welcome you here even more right now. And Father, we just thank you for helping us get through another year. We thank you for all the good stuff that happened to us in 2017. And Father, I pray that you would meet us today in your word, that you would show us how to thrive in difficult situations, how to not lose heart, even when life and the whole world gets crazy. So Father, show us how to receive your hope, and then help us to pass that hope on to a world that's hurting. In your holy name, amen. All right, so open up your Bibles or your phones or your tablets to 2 Corinthians 4. That's a joke, that's 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 4. We're starting in verse 7. It says, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body." And skip down to verse 16. "Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." So Paul, he starts out by talking about this treasure. And this treasure that he's talking about, it's Jesus. It's the gospel. It's the good news of Christ. It's the historical fact that God came to earth as a tiny little baby, which, you know, is what we celebrated on Christmas. God came to earth as a baby. He grew up, was raised by his human parents. You know, he became a carpenter. He hung out with people. He lived a perfect life. Jesus didn't even sin, not even just one time. He lived this perfect life, and then he was brutally executed and hung on a cross, dying for the sins of the world. But what's more is Jesus didn't stay dead. The power of God on the third day rose him from the grave, which is why we celebrate Easter. And then Jesus, he hung out with the humans. He walked around. He talked with us. He revealed himself to us even more. And then on his way back up to heaven, he promised that he would give us his Holy Spirit, that we would never be alone, that he would always be with us. That's the good news. That's the treasure Paul's talking about. That God, the God of the universe, the God who spoke everything into existence with the word, is totally accessible to you right now. The good news, the treasure that Paul talks about, is the fact that God is more accessible than our congressman. Like, we don't have to send an email, throw up a prayer, and just hope it gets through. God is always right there, inclining his ear, wanting us to talk to him. And what's more, he's always wanting to speak with us. So I wonder, like, how are we using this wonderful treasure, this treasure that's worth so much more than anything we could ever possess? Are we using it to its fullest? Are we checking in with God when we wake up in the morning? Hey, God, what's going on? What do you got for me today? Are we talking to him, you know, when we get cut off in traffic? Are we praying to him when our coworkers, like, just do those things that just really get under your skin? And I know some of my coworkers are in the room, so that's not a personal example. You guys are great. But are we using this treasure to the fullest? You know, because this is the greatest treasure in the world. It's worth more than all the gold you could ever possess. And it's worth more than whatever the heck a Bitcoin is. And if you know what a Bitcoin is, please explain it to me someday, because I don't get it. But Paul writes that this power, or this treasure, it has all-surpassing power. That this power is without comparison. It's mightier than anything anyone has ever encountered. We carry around in our bodies the very same power that rose Jesus from the grave. And the word in the Greek that describes this power, it's dynamis, which is where we get our word for dynamite. This is an explosive power. The gospel is not just words on a piece of paper. It's not just a story in a book that we can read and be like, oh, that's kind of neat. No, the gospel has real power behind it, this explosive power that will shake up our entire lives, that will reorient our entire lives around God. So I wonder, like, where in your life, where in our lives are we looking for a change? Because we all have somewhere in our lives where we don't feel we're there yet, where we feel like we can grow, where we need help. So what would it look like to invite God into these areas? Because this power is real. The gospel is not pop psychology. It's not the power of positive thinking. It's not some psychosomatic response. This is real. And if we invite God and his all-surpassing power into our problems, into our troubles, that power will be just like dynamite. It'll blow everything away. And his power will meet us. And it'll give us the strength that we need to keep on going. It'll give us the strength to not lose heart, even when we're feeling weak. Because, as the verse says, we're all weak. We're all, as Paul describes us, we're all jars of clay. Right? And I don't know if you've ever worked with clay. I did. I actually was the only guy in my freshman ceramics class to fail the class. Yeah, so I'm the most qualified person on stage right now to talk about clay. But clay is fragile, which is probably why I failed my class. It always breaks, right? If you handle it too rough, it falls apart. If you put too much pressure on it, it'll crumble. And that's exactly how we are when we try to do things on our own. When we're not tapping into God's presence and his power, on our own, we're weak. And I don't care how strong you are or how strong you think you are. At some point, given the right conditions, the right pressure, the right circumstances, you'll crack on your own. I remember I used to work at the Olive Garden. And before I did that, I worked a pretty high-stress job. I was a private investigator, surveillance, following people, all that stuff. I can tell you about that later. That's not important, although it was really fun. So I went from being a private investigator to working at the Olive Garden, which in comparison was a low-stress job. So it always astounded me how weak people were. My words. I would see cooks who would just melt down when their screens would have, you know, too many orders on them. I would see servers come into the back and just be crying their eyes out because a table was mean to them. Right? By the way, tip your servers. Like, their job is hard. They got to deal with people like me in the kitchen. Right? Talk about a nightmare. But it always blew me away how weak people were. Right? And then I had one of those days. I'd worked there about 3 or 4 years, never had a meltdown. Then I had one of those days. You know those days where just nothing goes right, everything gets under your skin. I mean, man, it was just the worst. And I tried to just, you know, I'm in the Army. I was a soldier. I just tried to soldier on my own, put my shoulders up, power through, and it just didn't work. I can remember I was working in the window, so it was my job to get all the food ready to go out to the tables. I had like 30 entrees in the window, all ready to go. And not one of my servers would take them out. They'd zip back and forth. They'd be like, hey, I need some food runners. Can you get this stuff out? Oh, no, I'm busy. And I'd look, and I'd see them standing by the water fountain, drinking, laughing, joking. I was like, come on, guys. And I just got irritated. I had all this food dying in the window, and I got like that rage boiled up inside of me, and I cracked. And now some people, when they feel that pressure and when they crack, they like implode inwards, and they cry, they get really sad, you know, woe is me, why, God? Like, that happens. But when I crack, I explode, and I try to crack as many jars as I can on my way down. So that's what happened. I'm yelling, I'm shouting, I'm, you know, cursing out servers, saying things I'm not proud of. I'm pretty sure I insulted some people's moms in the middle of it. It just didn't go well for me. I tried to do things on my own. I thought I was strong, and I cracked under the pressure of just trying to get some food out of the kitchen. So maybe you're like me and you're wondering, well, we have this awesome power. There's this awesome power, this treasure that's worth more than gold. Why would God put this priceless treasure into a fragile jar of clay like me? Well, that's the reason. Because we're fragile jars of clay, because where we're weak, he's made strong. When we crack under the pressure, that's an opportunity for God's presence and his power and his goodness and his hope to shine through our weakness, to shine through our brokenness. When people see that, when they see that in the middle of really difficult, hard situations, we experience that peace that surpasses all understanding. When people see a Christian, somebody who's dedicated their life to Jesus, who lets God make their decisions for them, when they see them thrive in difficult situations and experience that peace, they know something's different, and they want in. Another Olive Garden story. I could tell Olive Garden stories all day. But I remember one time I got it right. It was like August, and it was really hot in the kitchen, and so I'm sweating through my hairnet, and I'm on the saute station that day, so I've got 8 pans, and they're full of food, you know, chicken, shrimp, and all day long it's just flipping chicken over here, flipping shrimp over here. And this is sign language for saute, in case you didn't know. Made that up. That's not true. Anyway, cooking all day long. And I start to feel that anger rise up again, right? It's August. It's hot. I don't want to be here. I'm miserable. I'd rather be on the beach. Who are all these people that decided that the middle of August on a Wednesday is a great time to come get Italian food? Like, this doesn't make sense. I start to feel that rising up, right? Well, by this point, I'd become a Christian. So I figured I'd try to put my faith into practice. So I just said a little prayer, something like, God, I'm really angry. I don't want to be angry. Can you just meet me here and take this anger and give me something better? Because I'm about to put a saute pan through somebody's head. See that anger problem? I'm working on that. It worked. The power of God showed up in that kitchen. And in that moment, I realized something. I realized that each one of those saute pans, each meal that I was making, was going to a person. So I started to pray for the different people. I was like, God, whoever's going to get this chicken Alfredo, could you just bless them? Help them have a really good day. And God, whatever this person who's going to get this shrimp Alfredo, whatever they're struggling with, can you just bring your power into their life? And I started praying for these people, and it totally changed my perspective. And, you know, I was still hot. I still wished I was on the beach, but I was pretty content with life in that moment. So, you know, I'm in a happy mood all of a sudden. And I'm whistling and I'm singing a worship song under my breath, off key, you know, tone deaf Clint. And I'm just acting like a big idiot. I must look like a big dummy. Just happy. And my buddy who was cooking with me, he stops what he's doing. And he looks at me and he goes, Clint, what's wrong with you? I'm like, where do I start, you know? And he goes, why are you always so happy? I say, it's not me, man. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. And he goes, really? Jesus? That's the answer? I go, yeah, he usually is. And that opened the door to lots more spiritual conversations with that guy. I didn't know at that time, but my friend, he wasn't following Jesus. And in that moment, when he saw that I had something that he didn't, you know, we were both hot, we were both miserable, we both wished that we were on the beach, but I was content. I was content, and he was dissatisfied. When he saw my peace, He wanted in on that. He wanted in on that. So what does this look like for you? For some of you, I bet it's very similar to me at the Olive Garden. You hate your job. Your coworkers, they're just the worst. And every day when you punch into work, you start counting down the minutes and the seconds until you can go on lunch break. And then after lunch break, you count down the minutes and seconds until you can just be done with the day and go home and do something that you want to do. Well, what if instead of praying for a different job or for God to smite your coworkers or whatever, what if we started praying that God would use those things in our job, use those things that we hate, you know, the paperwork, the spreadsheets, whatever it is, and that he would shine through those moments, that where we're weak, he would be made strong, that because of that, our coworkers would come to know him. Or maybe for some of you, 2017 has just been terrible. You've just been wrecked, and you feel like your little jar of clay has just been totally shattered, and it's on the floor. Maybe you lost your job. Maybe you're facing a health issue. Maybe you lost a loved one. What would it look like for you to let God pick up those pieces for you? To really throw your lot in with him 100%. To put your weight down on Jesus, knowing that no matter what happens, you're going to be okay because you have Jesus, and that's enough. And what if when you do that, all the people who are looking to see how you respond to this situation, what if they realize that there's something different about you and they want in? Now, make no mistake, this stuff isn't easy. It's not like when we decide to follow Jesus, God comes and waves a magic wand. It's not like he's holding on to that big staff that he gave Moses and he just waves it over our lives and then all of our troubles go away. No. In fact, Jesus told us that in this life, we will have trouble. It's a guarantee. But you know what? Jesus also said, take heart, because I have overcome the world. And Paul who wrote this verse, he knew all about this. Most of his life, he faced an incredible amount of trouble. You know, Paul was, he was put in prison multiple times for talking about Jesus. He was shipwrecked over and over again. And I don't know about you, but if I'm shipwrecked one time, no more boat travel for Clint. I'm walking from here on out. Paul was shipwrecked multiple times. He was stoned. I'm talking like people picked up stones and threw them at him and hit him so many times they left him for dead outside of a city. Paul was no stranger to trouble. He faced it all the time. He expected suffering. But when he talks about his suffering, he lists it almost like it's part of his resume, that it's his suffering, his hardships, the stress and strains of his life that helped him develop a relationship with God. That he had this relationship with God because of his struggles, not in spite of them. So Paul, in the following verses, he talks about some things that we can expect. He says, we can expect to be hard-pressed on every side. So, like, the imagery of this is there's just pressure everywhere we turn. Everywhere we look, everywhere we're facing, we're just pressed in on every side. And kind of like a modern way that we would say this, if you look at the way the Greek is worded, is we are having the life choked out of us. That's fun, isn't it? Everywhere we turn, we're having the life choked out of us. It's like nothing that we do goes right. Have you experienced this? When I think about this, I think of, like, I've worked on some old vehicles before, and it's like when you're working on an old vehicle and you fix one problem, but for every one problem that you fix, you find two more. That's what this is. Everywhere we turn, we're having the life choked out of us. But Paul says, we're hard-pressed, but we're not crushed. So life can hit us with everything it has, and sometimes it will. But that power, that presence of God, that treasure that we carry around with us prevents us from being crushed. When we cry, come Holy Spirit, when we ask God to meet us in those hard situations, he does. He comes and he fills us up and he gives us exactly what we need to take one more step. Now, it doesn't always mean that we're going to know the way out of our situation. Paul writes that we can be perplexed. And perplexed, that's confused. That's we don't know where to turn. We don't know the way out. We're disoriented. And when I think of this, I think of, has anybody ever been in like a vehicle rollover? If you've been in a vehicle rollover, we used to do this for fun in the Army. They had this Humvee at Camp Ripley that they had it on like a big hydraulic spinny spinner. And we just go in there all the time, and they just spin us around in circles over and over and over and over again. And so you wouldn't know which way was up. And then they put like 60 seconds on the clock, and you'd have to find your way out of this vehicle. They'd lock doors so you wouldn't know, you know, where anything was. And it was so funny. Maybe I just got a weird sense of humor. But it was so funny watching somebody go through this spinny spinner Humvee rollover drill for the first time. Because what they would do is you're upside down, you're disoriented. So the first thing a new guy would do is he'd take his seatbelt off. And then he'd fall and he'd bonk his head and we'd all laugh at him. But then he'd get up and he'd start feeling around. He'd start feeling around in this Humvee, and it's pretty dark in there, trying to find that door handle. And then we'd start to count down, 30, 29, 28. And these people would start to panic. They would start to panic because they couldn't find the door handle. They couldn't find the way out. They're about to lose. And they'd start to slip into despair, right? What Paul says here is we may be perplexed, but we are not in despair. We are never without hope. And are you experiencing this right now? Are you experiencing a spot where you just feel hopeless? That's not God's heart. We follow a God who will always provide us a way out, who will always fill us with hope, even if we don't see it. We follow the same God who, when the Israelites were escaping Egypt, when they had their back to the Red Sea, when they didn't see a way out, God parted the sea. He created a path for them to escape. We follow the same God who brought down the fortified walls of the city of Jericho with trumpet music. How's that for a battle plan? I want you to march around this city and then blow trumpets at the walls. It doesn't make sense. But God always provides a way. We follow a God who took the cross, which was a symbol of death, of failure, of torture, of oppression. He took the cross and he turned it on its head. And now the cross is a universal symbol of hope and healing and restoration. That's the God that we follow. And that God, he's not a God of despair. Like, I've read the end of the book. And at the end, when everything is said and done, every tear will be dried. Every wrong will be righted. When we keep our eyes on that, when we know that no matter what happens to us right now, we're going to be okay because Jesus has already overcome the world. Pro tip, if you're ever in a vehicle rollover, try the handle before you take your seatbelt off because it's in the same spot, right? Anyway, don't say I didn't teach you anything. So the verse goes on to say we can be persecuted. And the word persecuted means to pursue, to hunt, to chase, like an enemy or like an animal. And Paul, he experienced this in a very real, very physical way. You know, he was chased out of cities. People stirred up trouble for him everywhere he went. Remember, he was getting stoned, you know, with rocks, stoned with rocks. Like, persecution was a very real thing for Paul. And in some parts of the world, this is a very real thing now. I was briefly stationed with a guy from Egypt, and he told me that in his country, it was very common for Christians to be beaten, to be like threatened, coerced with force, to get them to abandon their faith. So in some parts of the world, like that type of persecution, it's still rampant. We're blessed enough to live in a country where we can worship openly, where we can gather together as friends and family on a Sunday and sing songs to Jesus, where we can openly wear a cross without fear of being drug off the streets. And you know what? We should consider ourselves lucky for that. But that doesn't mean that, you know, persecution doesn't exist in our life or in our world for us, right? And I'm not saying that we need to look for persecution around every corner. Like, if you go to work and you decide to spend the first 3 hours of your shift sitting at your desk reading your Bible, when your boss comes up to you and says, hey, close that book and get back to work, he's not persecuting you because you're a Christian. He's persecuting you because you're a bad employee. No, don't do that. Work for your boss just like you're working for God. But I think that we've all experienced persecution in one way or another, right? I know when I first started following Jesus, I would tell some of my friends and my family that I had, you know, that I was following God, and they'd give me that look like, oh, you're one of those people. And they'd make all these assumptions, right? That I'm closed-minded, that I'm bigoted, that I'm sexist, you know, insert whatever here. Have you guys experienced this? Like maybe you did at Christmas. Maybe you have that one aunt or that one uncle that just seems like they have their PhD in why all organized religion is terrible. And they're gonna share their thesis with you. Well, you know, the Christians did the Crusades, the Christians did the Inquisition. More people have been killed in the name of God than anything else. Who are you to say that your God is right? You guys have that happen to you? I know I've had that happen to me. I've had people who I've respected, who I've looked up to, who I've cared about, tell me how stupid I am for my beliefs. And you know what? It's made me feel so small. It's made me feel so small and so alone. But what Paul says here is we may be persecuted, but we are never abandoned. The truth is, when we begin a relationship with Jesus, when we put our faith in him, we're never alone. He's never going to leave us high and dry. It's never going to be like God is just there for the good stuff and then ghosts out on us over the bad stuff. He's not that friend that says, hey, come out to dinner with me. I'm buying. And he orders appetizers and a bottle of wine. And then he forgets his checkbook and just bails. And you're left holding the bill. That's not God. God is always there with us. When we're not strong enough, he's the one that carries us. So I wonder, I just really feel like there's a couple of us here today that you're just feeling really abandoned. Like there's a specific issue. There's something going on in your life. And you just don't see God. You don't see his hand. You don't feel his power. You're not experiencing his presence. And if that's you today, in just a little bit, we're going to have what we call ministry time. And that's a chance where we get to pray for each other and ask God to speak into our lives, to bring wholeness and healing. And if you're feeling abandoned, I want you to come up here and get some prayer. Like, don't leave here today without getting prayer, because I guarantee God will meet you, and he'll show you how he's in the middle of your situation, how he loves you and cares for you, and how he wants to walk with you every step of the way. So Paul says that we can be struck down. And sometimes we do get struck down. Sometimes something comes at us out of the blue that we never expected, and it takes us off of our feet. And the way the word is used here, it has this connotation of being hit with a weapon. So we're stabbed, we're shot. Somebody comes up behind us with a baseball bat and just hits us and hits us and hits us. That's pretty encouraging, isn't it? Like, for real, I think so many times when something bad happens to us, we just want to throw up our hands. Why, God, why me? You know, I go to church on Sundays, I'm in a small group, I try to be nice to people, I stop, you know, flicking people off in traffic. Like, I'm a good person. Why is this happening to me? You know what? I'm sorry. I'm sorry that bad things happen to good people. But we live in a broken, fallen world. And because of our sin and because of other people's sins, sometimes we get things that we just really don't deserve. But even in those times, we can still encounter God. Like, myself and our worship pastor, Asa, for the last year or so, we've had the honor of serving as police chaplains for the police department here. And I'll tell you, in that role, I have seen some crazy things happen. One of the things that we get to do is we get to accompany officers as they go and make death notifications. So we go to a family's house when somebody has died, and we break the news to them that their loved one is dead. And I've seen people's worlds, good people, I've seen good people's worlds come crashing down around them. That's something you can never prepare for. No matter how many times you roll it over in your brain, that is earth-shattering. When that happens, people are struck down. And I bet there are some of you here today that are feeling this. Maybe you have lost a loved one. Maybe there's something going on in your life that hit you out of the blue, that cuts you off at the knees, and you're just feeling struck down. Maybe you've got like depression or anxiety, and just the thought of another day is just too much for you. We may be struck down, But you know what? We are never destroyed. No matter what you're facing, God is bigger than it. He's got that all-surpassing power, and he won't let us be destroyed. He wants to reach into the mess and the muck that's our lives and bring us hope and his healing and his power and his restoration. He wants to do that for me, and he wants to do that for you. And I've seen this stuff happen. I've seen it happen on death notifications where families come around the body of a dead child and they pray and they ask for God's healing hand and his peace falls on them. And they know that no matter what happens, in the middle of their sorrow, in the middle of their grief, they know that they're going to be okay. I've seen it doing hospital visits at St. Mary's. I've seen it where people, whether this godly man, a man who has spent his whole adult life caring for other people, his body is being ravaged by cancer, and he knows he's dying. But I look in his eyes, and he is not defeated because he has faith in Jesus, and he knows that no matter what happens to his body, he's going to be raised up, and he will be cancer-free. He will be cancer-free in this life or the next. His hope is in the future and what God did on the cross and what he's doing in the world, in our lives and our families, even if we don't get the chance to see it. That's where our hope is. And that's why we will never be struck down, because no matter what happens, we know we're going to be okay. And so God's power meets us in these situations when we're feeling confused or struck down, we're on the verge of despair. God's power meets us, and it meets us for a couple reasons. It meets us so that we can survive, so that we can thrive in these situations. But it also, if you look in verse 10, it says, we carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may be revealed in our body. When people see God's power reflected in our lives, when we're dealing with stuff that should crush us, that should break us, but it doesn't, when we tap into the power of God and we keep going, we take that one more step, when we overcome all odds, not through our strength, but through God's, when we do that, people notice. God reveals himself to other people through those times, and he brings people closer to himself. So what if in 2018, when something hard happens, what if instead of throwing up our hands and saying, God, why me? What if we just saw that as another way to be on mission, to bring the kingdom of God into our lives and into other people's eyes, to be the hands and feet of Jesus in a world that's hurting? And you know, this stuff is hard. This stuff is really hard. So in verse 16, Paul again, he tells us to take heart. Take heart because of all these things. Because we will never be destroyed, we can take heart. Even though he says, outwardly, we are wasting away. That's a fun thought, isn't it? Outwardly, we're wasting away. Like, your heart has less beats left in it now than when you walk through the door. Yeah. I got a fun sense of humor, don't I? Outwardly, we're wasting away. But Paul says it doesn't matter because inwardly, we're being renewed every day. Like, we all may be clay pots, right? But every single clay pot here today is loved by God. He made each and every one of us, and he loves us, and he wants to care for us, and he wants to renew us each day. And to be renewed simply means to be made new, to be made the way that God wants us to be molded and shaped into the people that he created us to be. And yeah, there's going to be times when we get broken, when we have holes, when we crack. But God wants to come. He wants to come and make us into the pot that he's made us to be. And he does this by us spending time with him. You know, following God isn't rocket surgery, right? It's not that complicated. A relationship with God is just like that. It's a relationship. We spend time with him. We can do that through praying. We can do that through worship, through fasting, through coming to service, through reading our Bible. I like to do it by ice fishing. Like, for real. The times that I'm closest with God are when I'm in the woods hunting or fishing. And I sit there on my little bucket jigging for crappies, and I talk to God about my past. I talk to God about the things that are going on in my life right now. I talk to him about my hopes and dreams for the future. But can I just share with you, like, probably the number one thing I've learned as a pastor in the last 5 years? This relationship thing, we talk to God. We also have to listen. We have to take time and listen for God speaking into our lives. Because for me, it's in those moments where I hear God's voice say, Clint, I made you to be this way, not this way. When Jesus comes and tells me who I am, that's when I'm renewed. So in 2018, I just wonder what God wants to renew in you. And are we taking the time to be renewed each day, multiple times a day? Paul says that our troubles, they're light and momentary. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes my troubles feel pretty heavy and pretty prominent. Well, when that happens, it's because we've lost focus. We've lost focus on what mattered. Paul, he gives us the key right here for us to see our troubles are light and momentary. He says, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. What he's saying here is so many times we substitute the eternal for the temporary. We dwell on our problems. Our problems are all that we see. And we fixate on those instead of on the kingdom of God, instead of on the things that are eternal, the things that really matter. You know, and man, if we can keep that kingdom perspective, if we can look forward to that day when there's not going to be any sickness, any death, any war, any famine, when every tear will be dried, when every eye that is, or every wrong is, will be made right. If we can focus on that day, if we can keep our eyes fixed on what we know is what's coming, all of our troubles seem temporary. We realize that our troubles will pass away, but the joy of a relationship with God, the joy of living in the kingdom, the joy of loving and serving him, that lasts forever. And everything else pales in comparison. It pales in comparison. So I wonder, like for you, where do your troubles seem just huge? Where do they seem like they're the only thing that you can see? And if you got a trouble that's just staring you in the face, come up here and get some prayer at ministry time. Ask God where he is. Ask where his kingdom is. Ask where he's present. Help him to change your focus and focus in on the kingdom perspective. Because the kingdom is breaking in. You know, the seen is becoming the unseen. But we can't pretend that there's not bad stuff. You know, we can't just ignore all the bad stuff and hope it goes away. No, that's not what Paul's saying. What Paul's saying is we need to fix our eyes on the kingdom of God, and that helps us deal with the stuff that's happening in the here and now. That helps us deal with the hard stuff. We call that living in the tension of the kingdom. The kingdom of God, his perfect rule and reign is coming, but it's not here yet. And if we go one way or the other, we miss out. If all we see is the kingdom, if all we look forward to is what's coming, if we ignore the pressing in, if we ignore the hardships and the pain and suffering around us, if we just ignore that, we can't be the hands and feet of Jesus that bring hope to a world that so desperately needs it. But on the flip side, if all we see is the hurting and the way that things are broken and they're not working the way that we should. If that's all we see, then we lose our hope. And if we lose our hope, then we have nothing to offer the world. And this stuff, it isn't easy. There's going to be times when we're hard-pressed, when we're struck down. But it's in those moments that God wants to give us his strength to let that treasure, that power, that all-surpassing power work in us and through us. And he wants to use those moments to draw other people into relationship with us. But in order to do that, we need to be renewed each day. And if we're renewed each day, if we're constantly having our perspective shifted back to the kingdom and off of our troubles, well, then it's really easy to know that we'll never be crushed, we'll never be in despair, we'll never be abandoned, and we certainly won't ever be destroyed. So why don't you guys stand up with me? We're going to move into ministry time. And this is just a chance for us to pray for each other about all the things that God has been speaking to us. And I really do believe that God wants to speak to each and every one of us in the room. So if I can have the worship team come back up and the prayer ministry team. If you're on the ministry team, just come make your way forward. And these folks on the ministry team, they just love to pray for people. And they would love to pray with you about anything that's going on in your life. But I got a couple things that I think that God is doing in the room. So why don't we just spend a little time praying together. So Holy Spirit, we just thank you for your presence. And God, just come even more right now. And I bet some of you have just had a really hard year. Like life has come at you sideways and you're just feeling it. And you don't know where God is at in any of it. So if that's you, I just pray right now. Like, Father, let these people feel your unconditional love. Let them feel your presence. Let them know that you're with them. And I feel like for some of us, it's the problems. All we see is the obstacles in our path. We've lost that kingdom perspective. So if that's you, Father, I just pray that you would help us fix our eyes on you. Fix our eyes on the kingdom, that no matter what happens to us, your kingdom is coming. Yeah, let your kingdom be our hope. And I feel like there's a couple of you here today that are just feeling really persecuted specifically by people who are close to you, by like a family member or a loved one. And Father, I just pray for those people that you would come and let them know that you're in their corner, that you love them, that you haven't abandoned them. And we also just pray for all of our police officers, all of our firefighters, our EMTs, our first responders, members of the military, our nurses, our doctors, our social workers, and anybody else who enters into other people's pain on a daily basis. Father, fill up these brave men and women with your love and your compassion. Round off any of the hard edges. Let them continue to enter into the mess and the muck and be your hands and feet. And I know that I just feel like there's a couple people here who 2017 has just been terrible. So kind of as a New Year's resolution, 2018, you're pressing into this whole Jesus thing. So if you've never made the decision to turn your life over to God, to let Jesus tell you who you are, to let God make your decisions, man, I just invite you, like, now's your time. Come up front, get some prayer. Let one of these folks up here help you make that decision. And if you want prayer for anything else, please don't hesitate. Come on up. God wants to meet with us today. He wants to give you his strength, his power. So the worship team is going to lead us in a few more songs. Hang out as long as you want. Thank you so much for coming to the Vineyard.